Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight. I just thank you that you show up, and there's something about your presence that just causes us to rest in you. And I love the high praises of God. The Bible says it's like a two-edged sword in your mouth. And we get in that high place, it's so easy to sing, and you just feel like it chases everything else that's not of God. Amen? I want to minister to you. I don't get to talk about this as much as I'd like to, but I felt like the Holy Spirit kind of led me to this place, so I just want to talk about all things kingdom. How many of you have a good idea of what the kingdom is? I mean, if you've been in church for a while, you may have a pretty good understanding of the church, but there's a difference between the church and the kingdom. So maybe how long ago did we go to Voice of the Prophets? Was that like 12 years ago, something like that? It was a long time ago. But it's amazing that during that season, I began to get what I call an epiphany. How many of you know what an epiphany is? It's a sudden realization that it's like this thing has been in front of you your whole life, and then all of a sudden it's like something clicks and you put it all together and you see it, and not everybody sees what you see. But you know it's so real that you just want to give everything into it. You just want to, you'll just pay the price because you know that this epiphany, this revelation, this suddenly that just happened to you is worth everything. Well, during this season, we were, I was in a church, and I was under a really good pastor. He was a pastor's pastor, a really nice guy. But I began to get a revelation of what the kingdom's all about, and it kind of collided with the idea of what the church is about. Because I had a pastor, and I love this man, but he would go up and lean against the wall and then say, "I love the church. I love this church," right? And that's not my idea of a church, because as I begin to delve into the revelation of the kingdom, the church is a whole different thing. How many of you believe it's not these walls? It's not even a gathering. It's a certain people that are called out of public life to rule and reign with Christ in the earth. Amen? So I just believe that we live so far below our privileges, our authority, our identity. You know, if we really knew who we were and you really knew the weapons that you have available to you and the authority that you walk in, it'd be a whole different game. Amen? Because you'd realize wherever you go, you're like Joshua. Wherever I put my feet, it's mine. I'm giving it to Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, when we get this thing on us, we realize that we have been given the authority on earth as it is in heaven to get back everything Jesus left us as an inheritance. Yeah. It's ours for the taking. You know, it's like David driving out the giants, you know. I think he could have thrown that stone backwards. It still would have hit Goliath and killed him that day because it was prophesied and it was his time. Because it's time for a change of kingdom, amen. The kingdom of David, the Davidic kingdom, was coming and it was about to start. And nothing is going to stop the kingdom. Right? I'm telling you, we're in a kingdom happening right now. There's things happening in the earth. Turn with me to Daniel 2:44. I need to slow down because I'm getting excited already about the kingdom. I love this. I mean, Daniel's way back there. He sees all these things. It's visited by the angel Gabriel. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and you know about the statue and the iron and clay feet and all these things. How many of you realize we're living in that last day right now? We're living in those nasty clay feet, I think, right now. But in Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings, I think it's talking about the kings that are in the earth right now. All these presidents and kings and queens and everybody that's in rule, that's kind of, they're not under the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They're doing their own thing. It's an antichrist beast kind of kingdom. How many of you want to come out of that? I don't know about you, but I want to live off the grid of that kingdom. I want to live in the Lord's kingdom daily. I want to get up and I want to thank him that the king is with me. You know, he's here right now. We have a king. He is not just any king, though. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And who's that make you? He brought us out. He redeemed us so that we could be kings and priests unto our God. You walk in an amazing identity, an amazing authority. You live in a kingdom that is not of this world. It can't be seen, but let me tell you, but it can be experienced. I mean, you can walk with angels. You can be in things where you proclaim the kingdom and demons cry out, because they do. There's a clash of kingdoms that needs to happen every time we walk into a place, because we carry a dimension. We bring in the king with us. You know, every time the president goes somewhere, he has the Secret Service goes there a week, and they take all the manholes and they shut them so they can't be open. They look at every vantage point. And I'm telling you, you are so precious to God. Do you know you have angels that go with you everywhere you go? And you don't even know how many times you've been saved by those angels. But it's all the effects of the kingdom. It's releasing heaven on earth. So here, Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that kingdom that never changes. You know, when I realized that, I realized I'm walking in eternity now, the moment I got saved, you know, and I don't have to wait for the kingdom. I serve the king right now like he's right here. In fact, there was a time when I got a revelation about this, the epiphany. I'd wake up and say, Lord, I abdicate everything I've done to rule my own life. I want to serve you, the king. And I got this revelation about what it said, that in the time of the king when he's here, in the thousand-year reign of the Messiah, it says if you don't come and worship him, you'll get no reign. So you know what I said? Lord, I'm worshiping you right now. I want my reign right now. If you're going to hold it back on people that don't come and worship you, then I want the kingdom dimension in my life right now. And I want it with signs and wonders. I want to show you to show me how real this kingdom thing really is. And I began to pray that every day. Every time I got up, I just thank the king. I just worship. And I'm telling you, we need to come into the reality of the kingdom. And when you read this word, you need some spectacles that have two lenses. One is the kingdom and one is love. If you can read the gospels in a fresh sight, do you realize Jesus never preached the cross? He never preached deliverance. He never preached healing. You know what he preached all the time? He proclaimed the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I want to break that down a little bit, because I want to show you why it was so important that you got Peter. Do you remember when Jesus comes walking along the beach, it says that Peter, they left their nets right away. How do you do that when you just met this guy and he's walking down the beach and you don't know who he is? And this is a lifelong generational work that's in your life. You don't know anything else. But there's something so impacting in their lives that when Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom, they just dropped everything and left him and left them. See, my mission tonight is to spark an epiphany of the kingdom in you, how it is different from the understanding of the church as you know it, and how even now you're invited to be an ambassador of heaven with signs and wonders and deliverance through your kingdom identity and the authority. See, when I begin to walk in the kingdom, I've actually had things. I probably had two or three times where demoniacs actually reacted to me in proximity. And I began to realize I carry an authority. I carry an identity. I carry a realm with me. When I walk into a prayer meeting, I know I carry something that can supercharge it, right? Do you know you carry the presence of God? Do you know you carry influence? You know, Jesus said this, what shall I liken the kingdom to? And I love this is a good Mother's Day message right here. Best Mother's Day message I have. He said, what shall I liken the kingdom to? He said, it's like a woman who hid three measures of leaven in this bread, and it leavened the whole lump. You know what that speaks to me of? Mind, body, and spirit. It really speaks to me about a mother's influence on her children. That's why I think it's the greatest Mother's Day message. The kingdom is like influence. And it's in the mind. It could be in the spirit or it could be in the body. You know, so in this kingdom, we're actually releasing a kingdom dynamic, a kingdom revelation. You know, we're asking angels to go before us. We're proclaiming the kingdom has come. And when we proclaim that message, it is the original message. That's the one that gets backed up by signs and wonders. You know, the good news of Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting, that's great news, but it goes way beyond that. You know, back when I got this revelation, I'd ask people this question. What did Jesus come to redeem? What did he come to redeem? Everybody say humanity. That's a good answer, right? I say no, he came to get everything back. He came to take it back. In fact, if you look at the temptations in the wilderness, first of all, Jesus gets baptized, right? By John the Baptist. And the Bible says when he goes down, the heavens rent. How'd you like to see the heavens rip over your head when Jesus gets baptized? And then they hear this loud voice, this is my beloved son. I'm telling you, you got to wonder, this must be a special day because usually the heavens don't rip and you don't usually hear that voice. It's not Morgan Freeman. Some say it rumbled. Some say it thundered. And right away he's driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he's in there, the first one, and you got to realize, whenever you get a kingdom identity, whenever you understand who you are, when you get a revelation from the Father of your place in his kingdom and your authority, yeah, right away, the enemy comes up. What's his first question? If thou be the Son of God. He wants to put a question mark there, get you question or get you act in your old identity to anchor you to who you used to be. Right? But Jesus overcame that one. I mean, he had the word. You know, that's why the sword of the Spirit, it's a small sword. It's not that long Viking sword. You know, it's a small personal weapon because you can stab from out underneath the shield. It's for close-up combat. It's something a lot of times you sleep with and you wear on your body at all times. And that's what Jesus used on him. He used the sword of the Spirit. Right away, he had the word of God to come back and deal with the enemy and everything he said to him. You know, next one was take yourself up to the pinnacle. This kind of a religious thing. Show yourself, show off right there in the temple and jump off. Isn't it written the angels will bear you up? Right? And he gave him the word again. And they took him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Do you know there are musicians? There are all kinds of people that sold that they've actually taken that. And they've sold themselves for fame and notoriety. How many believe that's true? And they're actually pretty famous. They put them in venues. They make them popular. They change their image. I mean, we've got two kingdoms happening right now, and it's more evident now than ever. Do you realize that? I mean, in politics, it's evident. In entertainment, it's evident. And it's getting more wicked by the day. I mean, there's things being uncovered that are exceedingly wicked. It's crazy, but I believe there's some of us that are understanding who we are in the kingdom, that we're walking a different way. We serve a different king, and we're in a kingdom that's never going to end, amen? We're in the kingdom of the King of Kings, hallelujah. And when you get in the kingdom, he puts an army behind you. That's why he's called the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies. I mean, you got to know all those names, because every once in a while you're going to need one of those names. Sometimes I need the Almighty God. Sometimes I need El Shaddai. Come on. Sometimes I need a Savior. Praise God. Or a Deliverer. But you know why he was the I Am? Because the I Am can be anything. The I Am can be, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the branch. He can be all things to all men. Amen. He can be whatever you need tonight. You know, the Bible says, condescend to men of low estate. So Jesus can get right down on our level. He can get down on the level of a man that's been laying there for 38 years and talk him out of his stuff. Talk him out of a 38-year hemorrhoid. The guy's got to be hurting there, sitting all that time. Would you be made whole? See, in the kingdom, things can be really quick, too. What shall I liken the kingdom to? He said it's like a mustard seed. When you plant it, see, my mom used to have a ring that had a mustard seed in it. She said, see, I got a mustard seed. Well, it doesn't mean anything unless you plant it and water it and take care of it. And the Bible says, you know, in the Mideastern mustard seed, it is like a black speck of sand. It's so small. If I hit it up here on this platform, you couldn't find it. If I put it on one of those black chairs over there, you couldn't find it. But Jesus said this. He said, when it is water, when it's sown, it becomes the greatest of herbs. It becomes like a tree that the birds of the air come and lodge in. You know, I just wondered one day. You know, the kingdom to me is exponential. We're not talking mathematician. We're not talking addition and subtraction or even multiplication. When I understand the kingdom, the power of the kingdom is exponential. You know how many seeds come from one mustard seed that's germinated and grows into a tree? Try 60,000. You tell me any other herb or any other fruit or any other, like corn, anything, what compares to a 60,000 yield of one? See, I want to get that so deep in my spirit that I'm confident that when we talk about the kingdom, when I enter into the kingdom, when I function in the kingdom, I'm functioning on a whole nother level now. Because it's Jesus beside me. It's the King. The Bible says where the word of a king is, there's power. You know what some of us need? We just need to get a place and fast and pray, get a breakthrough, so the King issues a decree on our behalf. Because it doesn't matter what's in the way. When the King says something, he calls things that are not as though they are. And maybe that needs to change our language too. How many times have you called things that are not as though they are? Because that's the language that he speaks. That's the kingdom language. He controls all things. I'm not even really using these, but I'll look back at them again. For the longest time, I really could not get a hold of the gospel. I'm a guy, I mean, even when I was little, I want to know why. I want to know why it works. Why does 1 + 1 = 2? You tell me why, you know. I just want to know the behind the scenes. And I'm not satisfied with just reading any word in the Bible. I want to know, what's the root word? What's the original meaning? Where was the context they used it back then? Because there are three or four shades of meaning that we totally missed the whole thing that was supposed to encourage us with, right? So even the word gospel, you know, everybody knows it's good news. Well, I can say it is good news, isn't it? Jesus came and died. Or even the good news of his kingdom. But the gospel is a powerful word. It's a military word. You know, the Bible says when Jesus came down that beach when they were fishing all day, he came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Let me tell you what the gospel is. It's the word in the Greek is evangelion, right? Here's evangelion. The evangelion has to do with a declaration or a messenger from the Roman Empire telling you there's a new emperor or a new Caesar who is a man god. They worship the emperor. Do you understand that? They see him as a man god. Listen to all the credentials of a Caesar. When Christians use the term evangelion, they were speaking in familiar language of the day. The emperor in Rome was considered divine by nature. His power was considered to extend to men, to animals, to the earth, and to the sea. Who's that sound like? When Jesus quieted the waves, they looked at him, we'd never seen anything like this, right? I guarantee if you were on that boat and you were just a little bit ago, you're yelling and screaming for your lives and wondering if he's ever going to wake up. And you saw him in a second release, peace, be still. And if you've ever been on a glassy lake in the early morning, I believe that's what it looked like. And the Bible says they found themselves at the shore instantly. I don't know about you, but I'd be marveled. I'd be kissing the dirt on the other side. I would definitely have a different estimation of who this Jesus was in our midst. Nature belongs to him. Wind, waves are subject to him. He works miracles and heals men. He is the Savior of the world who also redeems individuals from the difficulties. He has appeared on earth as a deity in human form. He is a protective god of the state of Rome. His appearance is the cause of good fortune to the whole kingdom. Extraordinary signs accompany the course of his life. They proclaim the birth of the ruler of the world. Listen to this. A comet appears at his ascension to power, and his death, signs in heaven declare his assumption into the ranks of the gods. Because the emperor was considered more than a common man, his ordinances are glad messages, and his commands are sacred writings. What he says is a divine act, implies good and salvation for men. I don't know about you, but that sounds like somebody else to me. You know, this was of a Caesar, and every time there's a new Caesar, there'd be an evangel, a messenger like Paul Revere. They'd come and proclaim the good news, the evangelism of the kingdom. There's a new man God. You are now under his righteous rule, under his protection. Now let's look at Jesus. Jesus comes proclaiming his kingdom, his gospel of his kingdom, his evangel. He's now saying, I'm the new man God. You are now under my jurisdiction. See, that's what's happening in the moment when they left their nets, because they've been waiting for the Messiah. They've been waiting for a king who would deliver them out of Roman rule. And this is the day. This is when it's happening. I don't know about you, but if Jesus came walking through and we're coming in this next millennial reign, I'm not going to stick around. I'm going to be right behind him. Amen? See, the thing is, the kingdom is so powerful. You can enter into that same kingdom, that same procession tonight. You know, when I got this revelation of the kingdom, I thought I got to get saved all over again. In a way that the kingdom was so powerful, I actually wanted to come to the altar and give myself to the kingdom. I gave myself in baptism in Jesus' name. I was filled with the Spirit. But I sat in a pew all the time. In those good old walls. And I don't know about you, but that isn't what this is about. Jesus came to get everything back. And he came to release us into an identity that he had sent us out like ambassadors to go and proclaim the kingdom is at hand. You know, I love this scripture. How many of you like the scripture? From the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. I like the way it sounds because I like to be a forceful guy. I'm thinking, you know, it's time to push back, right? It's time to take it back from the enemy. But why from John the Baptist? From John the Baptist. And then Jesus also said the law and the prophets were till John. You know why Jesus said from John the Baptist? Because that's when he was coronated. That's when the king shows up. Right then, John goes into prison. Jesus takes over the message and starts to proclaim his kingdom. Then he chooses 12 disciples and sends them out. And what's he do? He tells them to proclaim the kingdom is at hand. And then he gives them authority over devils and all kinds of things. Heal the lepers, you know, raise the dead. Isn't that amazing? And those guys weren't even filled with the Holy Spirit yet. They didn't even come to the cross. That's before the cross. I got to ask you, what's available to us right now?
When I look back at all the examples, you know, I realize it's all mine. Jonah is mine, right? Daniel is mine. David is mine. They were all for our example in this last day. You know, the Bible said, Jesus said, you know, they all looked for your day. They all wanted to see your day. That's an incredible revelation of where we are and who we are. I mean, there's a great stone just about to hit this world. It's about to shatter all the kingdoms of the world. And if you're not in this everlasting kingdom, it will make a difference for you. It's going to leave a mark on you. Praise God. You know, it's amazing that as soon as Jesus came out of the wilderness, I love what it says, he came out in the power of the Spirit. There was something that was different about the way he went in and the way he came out. You know, and he came out, and immediately there's a clash of kingdoms. He goes to synagogue, and guess what? There's a demoniac in the synagogue. How did the devil get into church? You know, look at your Bible. How many miracles did Jesus actually do in the church, in the synagogue? All he did was deliver devils. All of his miracles were done, number one, on the Sabbath lot, and number two, in the marketplace. Where should we be at? Where's Jesus actually doing stuff? In the marketplace. There's not a whole lot of stuff that's going to happen around here. If your mindset is all about just going to church and having good worship and sitting in a place like this, then you're missing the whole aspect of the kingdom. You're missing everything Jesus did on the cross. When he said it was finished, he's really saying, I got everything back and I'm giving it to you. Praise God. He said, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. He got Adam's authority back. He's got his own. He's got the earthly realm, the Adamic realm, and he's got the spiritual realm of the Christ. He's got that double portion. And he said, I give my authority to you. Is that crazy? I'm hoping your heads get a little bit bigger by now, that it's just something's expanding in your identity, in your ability, in your authority. Praise God. You're like the Marines. You realize that? You're boots on the ground. You're like the first force. You're the one they're sending in the battle, thoroughly equipped. You got everything you need. And you know what happens? A lot of times we don't even know it, but God puts us in a situation that we don't even think we're ready for. All of a sudden a demon rises up, and guess who's in the room? Only you. It's time to figure out who you are. It's time to be identified. You know, I was talking to Bob the other day when we were talking about the Jonathan and his armor bearer. I love this story because it's about commitment. You know, Jonathan wants to go up this uphill battle and go into the Philistine stronghold. And he tells his armor bearer, you know, if they invite us up, let's go up. God's given him into our hands. And the armor bearer, he says, do all that is in thine heart. And the Bible describes it as there's two rocky cliffs on both sides. So this is all about commitment. It's all about all in. And let me tell you, you don't get anything in the kingdom unless you're all in. I mean, it's really this simple. It's not the way we think, but it's the way God thinks. Either you love me or you hate me. You know what? There's no in between. There's no gray area with Jesus. If you love anybody more than him, it's considered the hate category. But how wonderful it is to be all in with God. To be walking with him daily. You know, if there is a rapture, you know what? I'm not going to be surprised because I want to walk with him daily anyways. If there is some calamity, if we go into the apocalypse, I don't care because I'm walking with him daily. I'm in a different kingdom. This kingdom does not shake. The world's going to shake. All kinds of things are going to shake around you. But it's like Jesus walking on the waves. If you've got your eyes on Jesus, you know, you're just going to continue to walk in that realm with him. Amen? In the presence of the Lord is a fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. You know, I don't want to get that far away from him that I can't feel his grace, even in the midst of all kinds of junk going on. He can give you amazing peace. You know what I love about the kingdom? I think one of the first things that we can release our authority in is just peace. You got somebody in your household, somebody in the office that's losing it? I guarantee you, one of the first anointings, one of the first gifts that you can operate in this kingdom is to bring heavenly peace. Bring the shalom. We used to have prayer meetings with a single mother that was always going through stuff. And it'd be late at night and would lay hands. And I'm telling you, it's like God gave her a tranquilizer. She was out for the rest of the night. She's just gone. I had to go up and go to bed, let people let themselves out because I had to go to work. But I had people just trashed on the couch. Because there's a peace that passes all understanding, flows like a river, amen? You don't have to figure it out. All you got to do is receive it. I used to practice on my wife. That's my wife right there. You know, I wouldn't carry the peace, so I'd pray for her at night. And it would take like maybe a 15-minute prayer when I really felt the anointing and she's gone. Because I think that's one of the first things you can extend is peace. And it's powerful. And the God of peace shall shortly bruise Satan underneath your feet. See, the kingdom's all mixed up. I think the God of war would take care of Satan, but it's the God of peace. Because there's so much authority in him that nothing challenges him. Amen? And when I walk in that realm with him, I know the devils feel it. I was in Cleveland one time, and I was praying by myself, and I was praying, and just I was taking authority. I was doing everything. I didn't know a whole lot, but I was taking it. And this demoniac jumps in off the street and said, "There's no devil in here." I said, "Oh, yes, there's." I rebuking and binding. You know, that guy showed up in church a couple days later on a Sunday with a knife. And here I am by myself. I'm rebuking and binding, and he jumped in right off the street. And I've had times after I prayed by myself and I was doing that, and a demoniac walk across the street, and all of a sudden he'd look at me and stare at me, and then walk the rest of the way across the street. You know, here's the thing. Are you known in the kingdom? Yeah, I love it when it talks about our citizenship in heaven. It's like the men that tried to cast the demon out of somebody, and the demon spoke out and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" See, when you really give it in all for the kingdom, and you get an identity of who you are, and you get citizenship written in heaven, the enemy knows who you are. And I tell you what, your authority is enough, even where you are right now. The authority in Jesus' name. Even the weakest of the apostles came back marveled because they knew that there's authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, the kingdom has always been plan A. When Adam and Eve came, they were an outpost colony from heaven. They were sent here to release heaven on earth. But Jesus had plan B, or God had plan B, didn't he? He had Jesus was, that idea of Jesus giving his life was from the foundation of the earth, because God knew Satan was so wise that he would steal our authority and steal the earth realm away from us. So God sent his son made of a woman, so it could redeem those underneath the law. Isn't it amazing? I mean, he took care of everything. Hasn't he taken care of everything for you? I mean, throughout eternity, he thought of you. Isn't he thinking of you right now? I don't care what kind of problem that you have. You know, I hope you're hungry for the kingdom. I hope you want to put a demand on God and say, "God, you know, from this night's sermon, I want to see the kingdom. I want to see things moving. When I pray, I just want to see the kingdom manifest." Amen? I want to see angels bring deliverance or bring revelation. I want to see all those things that have happened in the Old Testament. I want to see them functioning. I want to see when I'm surrounded by the enemy that God has angels in the mountains surrounding my enemy. Amen? See, that's what the kingdom is all about. Greater are they that are with you than they that are with them. And there are some people that have even been to some of these services that have seen the angels in our midst. And they could be here right now. Anytime the gifts operate, anytime we begin to prophesy, we begin to release the kingdom. See, you got to release it. You have authority in the earth as a human being. God gave it to you. He didn't give it to Satan. He didn't give it to angels. That's why we have the authority in the earth realm to release heaven's authority, to release the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Praise God. Why don't you stand with me? Can somebody that plays or... Ephesians 1 and 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth. Isn't it amazing? The master plan is to use Jesus to get everything back for you and me, whether it's in heaven or in earth. And we have this beautiful ability to bring the heaven, the kingdom of heaven, to bear on anything that we need him for. Why don't you come up around here? Let's just pray. And listen, I just ask that God would open up our minds to the promise, the availability, just an epiphany, or a fresh revelation of the King. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, "I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, in his train, this magnificent robe that spoke of victory, eternal victory." See, I don't care where you are. The kingdom is everywhere. The kingdom in all things. See, there's a lot of people here. If you're young and you're revelations of the church, you probably can't wait to get in the pulpit. But that's the church. The kingdom is about taking your ministry anywhere. It's about being a marketplace pastor. It's about being a marketplace apostle. It's about carrying the kingdom identity in the world and in the marketplace where Jesus did most of the stuff to begin with. You know, they say that in the temple, the river of God flows out, but the further away it gets from the doors, the deeper it gets. That tells me that the further you get away from tonight's experience and you take him at his word, he cannot lie. And you proclaim him the King, and you take dominion in his name, and you can change the minds of men. I've even heard where places were all shut up and prayer intercession went in. They proclaimed the kingdom and the King, and they drove out demonic spirits. And then everybody who used to say no began to say yes. There were borders they wouldn't cross, and now all of a sudden they'll cross the border. Because he's a principality and power of the air. But we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Jesus, we just ask you tonight. You didn't come to just save us. You didn't come to just set us free. You just didn't come to make us happy in these seats tonight. But you came to invest in us your authority and your identity. You came to release the kingdom dimension upon all of us. That we would begin to speak a kingdom language and authority that would not only hold the enemy back, but it would drive him back. Just like you told Peter, the gates of hell should not prevail against the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. And Father, I just thank you that you're restoring in us the original meanings of kingdom. In the gospel. And we have to get that in our mindset because it's not easy to grasp. But when I get it, when I get a hold of it, the Bible says as many as got a hold of him, gave he power to become the sons of God. There's things that you need to get a hold of and you need to make your reality. And I've got to see things through a kingdom mindset every day. I've got to allow my mind to be renewed so that I see the reality of his kingdom. That all these other kingdoms are coming down, but I'm standing in an everlasting kingdom. And I want to gather as many as I can to come into the kingdom with me like Noah gathered them into the ark. Because there's a time coming when the stone is coming and the kingdoms are coming down. And the beast nations are going to fall. But the Christ is going to come riding through on a white stallion. Come on. And at some point he's going to ask you, are you ready to ride with me? Because Enoch saw 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints riding behind him. And I'm telling you, a decision tonight about the kingdom could put you on a horse behind him. Come on. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that number. Pray this way. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Just break it up. To be revered, to be adored. So special. Thy kingdom, your everlasting kingdom, your plan A, come down, manifest in our midst. Let us see the operation of angels. Let us see the dead raised from that lifeless kingdom and alive again in you. Let us see the lepers cleansed. Let us see blind eyes open. Because you were the one that did all of it to proclaim that you are the only man God. There was a comet that even showed your birth, that Magi came from the far east and they came to worship you because there's a great king being born this day in the city of David. And those angels appeared to shepherds, the Levitical shepherds that took care of the Levitical sheep that were going to be sacrificed. You know what those angels were saying? You don't need these sheep anymore because there's a lamb being born that's going to change this whole dynamic. Praise God. And his blood is going to heal the nations. He's going to make us one family. I saw the most amazing t-shirt the other day. A friend of mine's a warrior. He's in the army. He's got this beautiful t-shirt. It said, blood is the ink of freedom. Is that crazy? That'll preach right there, isn't it? Jesus, you signed the declaration of our independence. Come on. You went in, you took back the keys. You not only took them back to death, hell, and the grave. And I've been in funerals where people have served God. There's no sting of death. There's people rejoicing and shouting and dancing because they know that person just walked from this life right into the kingdom eternity. Oh my God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that sorrow of someone that is left behind or someone that didn't know God or an atheist on their bed. They said that's the most terrible place you can ever be. Jesus, manifest your kingdom. Would you say that in your life? Just say, Lord, in my life, I gave my life to you as Lord in salvation. Now I come again. Now I understand. Your kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. I abdicate all the thrones in my life. And I yield to you, my only King. You are Lord. Empower us tonight to get everything back that you won through your blood in the cross. Thank you for authority. Thank you for identity. Thank you for heavenly citizenship. My name's been found written in the Lamb's book of life. Only by your blood. Jesus told Nicodemus, man has to be born again of the water and the Spirit, or else he cannot enter into the kingdom. And this is my take on it. It's baptism, and it's baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's in water and baptism of the Spirit. The second part means actually to be born from above. That's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you never received the gift of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, I'm telling you, that's just a manifestation. People get it quiet. They get all kinds of different ways. But one sure way is when you speak in tongues. Peter uses evidence to go with his own men, saying, understanding why he went to the Gentiles and the Cornelius band. It was evidence. He said, how could we forbid water, seeing that they received the Holy Ghost just as we did? For we heard them speak in other tongues. Let me tell you, you know, at the Tower of Babel, he confused all the tongues. He scattered the nations. There was one nation. There was one king, and it was Nimrod. And he scattered all the nations, and he disassembled that kingdom. But you know what he's doing in our day? On the day of Pentecost, he gave them back languages, and it wasn't as scattered this time as to bring all the nations back together unto him. They were all the different languages of the Medes and the Persians and the Syrians, and they all heard them magnifying God in their own language. So he's releasing a sound like a trumpet to call all the nations back to his kingship. And there's an invitation tonight to be somebody in him. So Father, we just thank you for everybody that, I just pray that you go on and on. The kingdom's forever. It's your ways are past finding out. That this is just the beginning. And I'm telling you, we're in a time, we're in an epoch, we're in a season. When I went to the Voice of the Prophets 12 years ago, we'd ask people, how did you get here? What brought you here? And I'm telling you, it was 99.9% of the people said, we all read Bill Johnson's book, When Heaven Invades Earth. And I found out there's a spiritual river of people that hear the sound and they know the time. And they begin rushing into the kingdom because they know it's not about a church anymore. It's not about sitting in these comfortable four walls. It's about being identified and being exposed for who you are. It's about going out there and taking back what the enemy stole. It's about delivering people. It's about opening the prison doors. You know, when Jesus came in that first night and after the wilderness, he read from the prophet Isaiah and he said, this day is it fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he went out and started preaching the kingdom and healing and delivering. So Father, I just thank you. How many believe it's got to be that way? It doesn't change. We preach the gospel of the kingdom tonight. The good news that your kingdom is evident. It's imminent. You know, they said that John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom as though it needed to be listened to. It is imminent. It is at hand. It's now. And Jesus said this, if I cast out Satan by the finger of God, then the kingdom's here. That's an outright clash, right? That's warfare happening right there. And when you deliver somebody, you just took them from darkness. You just took them out inside the gates of hell and you pulled them back into the kingdom realm. Amen? And I'm telling you, every one of you carry that. I hope you meet a demon tonight. So you find out who you really are. Because the moment you find out and the moment it happens, that moment that person gets set free, the moment they start laughing hilariously, because it's the witness of heaven. Because the joy is so real to them. They're totally set free. So Lord, I just thank you for a chance to release your kingdom. Release an epiphany. Let somebody get a hold of it and run with it. Let somebody move the marker. Let somebody take territory. Let somebody establish another colony. That's what the apostles were. They would take linguists. They would take all kinds of a team. So they would establish a colony And that's what apostles do. They have the blueprint of heaven they establish in the earth realm. And then God brings along prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists to bring about that culture, to purify, to raise up people. Amen. That's what the fivefold ministry is. It's the fivefold to perfect the saints through the working of the ministry so that you would get out there and do the stuff. Come on, that's what they're for. It's not for you to go on an evangelism meeting. It's for you to get stirred up like an evangelist and go out and win souls. Praise God. Well, Lord, I just thank you for dying. Let your kingdom, let the glory of your kingdom be revealed. Let your reputation come to bear on all your people. I pray for kingdom manifestation. I pray for angels that would be activated. Sometimes they intercept. Sometimes they go and grab our kids and bring them back. Sometimes they stop Balaam along a wall that he's made up his mind. I'm telling you, the kingdom needs to be activated. And I pray that you would just activate it in your life. Ask the Lord to send an angel to that need. And watch and see if something doesn't happen. Even on the other side, people say, I don't know what happened. Somehow I thought about you. I thought about this thing and I changed my mind. So Lord, I just thank you for tonight. Just leave it in the hands of Bob. Amen. Go ahead.
Let's just close in intercession and prayer and leave it in the hands of the Lord and his kingdom and his ways. Jesus, so often we can sit and hear word after word after word and not respond. God, let this not be that night. Let this be a night of responders, that we grab a hold of the truth of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, move on our hearts. There's a lot of yes in our hearts tonight. We just say yes to you, God. We say yes to your will in our lives. And God, I believe that you spoke to some of us about our intercession, our time with you. That you've called people in this room to fast and to pray and to step into a fast of just seeking you first. Seeking your kingdom first. God, this is a night that some distractions are being broken. Some strongholds are being dealt with by the power of the kingdom and the power of your name and the power of the blood and the power of the cross. We stand in the agreement of the power of the cross of Christ, the power of the kingdom of God. We stand in agreement tonight. God, launch people from this place into the mindset and the understanding of the gospel of the kingdom. God, let us wrestle with what we need to wrestle with as we bring it before you and we proclaim freedom and we proclaim your word that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is in us. So today, God, we just proclaim freedom in Jesus' name. Wholeness in Jesus' name. We proclaim a radicalness in our lives toward you and your kingdom. That you would stir us up in such a way that we would be beacons, God, of your light. We thank you. Through the place of humility, through the place of brokenness, through the place of transformation, but through the power of the kingdom of God, we thank you for this night. As the word says, search our hearts. Help us to step into this tonight. We pray this in the precious and holy and loving name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you and take hold of what was spoken tonight. Take hold of what the Lord is doing. I really have a sense in the back of the room that he's called some of you to really become massively radical in your pursuit of him. I believe that he did that in some of you tonight. And some of you, I feel like he, and I was feeling this in the back, I feel like some of you are still wrestling with the same stuff you've been wrestling with forever, and it's time for it to be over in Jesus' name and to hear his truth for his kingdom to come. I heard another thing back there, that you've been walking a long time with God, and this is where God wants to expose your heart and bring you into an understanding of the fullness of who you are in him. How many want to change from this day forward into the things of the Lord and go deeper into the ways of God? Do you want to change? Then let it happen. Let him do what he needs to do right now. If he spoke something to you, respond to it. If he asks you that you need to sit before him and hear his voice, sit before him to hear his voice. What Brian said, we all carry the kingdom of God within us. Amen. Amen. Go in peace in Jesus' name. God bless you and have a wonderful night.